This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rich Collins joins me live in studio with an update on the Meadow Creek Parkway. He, of course, with Save McIntyre Park. And let's start first with this fundraiser that's coming up. There's an event coming up, right?
Oh, that's great for bringing that up, McCoy. Yes, on Sunday, we're going to have what we're calling a Save McIntyre Park fundraiser at the Charlottesville Coffee Place on Harris Street. And we're going to have six vaudeville acts featuring at least three former mayors who are opposed to the parkway. Mayor O'Brien and Mayor Fife, who are now, of course, married. And also Maurice Cox, a former mayor. And we're also featured, and this is really great, Coy, you'd love this show. There's a show called Dr. Levine and the Dreaded Blues Lady. Dr. Levine is a history professor at UVA and a real knowledgeable historian of Mississippi blues. He's paired up with this Dreaded Blues Lady, a wonderful singer. I've seen them over in Stanton, and they're going to put on an hour show of kind of real blues, including what she calls women's blues, and it's a great show. But we're going to liven it up with more than music, with the mayors playing some skits, and I'm going to, by the way, serve as master of ceremonies. It should be a good deal. I hope a lot of people show up.
And Paul Goodloe McIntyre is going to be there, is that right?
Yeah, you heard about that. Yeah, we have one called Mr. Paul Goodloe McIntyre, and then in subtitle is, he looks a lot like Daniel Bluestone. So we're going to do a little bit of a skit on that. Yes.
Now, this is when? This is where? At Seaville Coffee?
Yeah, Seaville Coffee on Sunday, starting at 2 and going till 4. And as I say, it's a fundraiser to help us raise money to support our efforts to keep the road out of the park. And we call it a vaudeville show because we have a number of skits, and we think it's going to be entertaining as well as...
Seaville Coffee, Sunday, March 28th. That's over by Circa on Harris Street, down near the tennis courts, right there off of McIntyre Road, right near the scene of what we're talking about. Whoa. So what's the latest? What's going on? Well, I mean, the Chamber made headlines this week when it sent a letter to the city saying, let's start digging. Yeah.
The Chamber has been getting a lot of headlines on this issue. Let me tell you what the very latest is. A couple hours ago, I was attending a meeting with a number of other members of the Coalition to Protect McIntyre Park with the city attorney, Craig Brown. Craig had been directed by the entire city council to meet with us to see what the effect of a resolution we had proposed that the city adopt would be on the legal circumstances surrounding McIntyre Park, and secondly, to accommodate the city council's interest in making sure that the road is not built till we're sure that all of it can legally be built. And all I can say is that Craig Brown was very definite about the fact that I am not representing you, I'm not here to help you. I'm here to represent the city council, and in conjunction with that, to make sure that my own legal understandings are secure. And that was a very fruitful meeting. And what came out of it is not a new resolution. At least it was not completely resolved at the time I left the office. But Craig had made clear that he was going to do some investigations about the Corps of Army Engineer permit, which has not been issued. He's going to determine how long it might take the Federal Highway Administration to conclude and make its decision on whether the interchange would be built, which is what they call a final federal action. And then he received assurances from us that this is not designed to delay. It's designed to make sure that the law is complied with. There will be some delay, if that's the term you wish to use. That is, it will take some time before anyone could go into McIntyre Park and start bulldozing down trees or tearing up the turf. But I think we were all in agreement that the city council wants is to make sure that no part of this road is built and then has to be undone.
Yeah, I mean, that's the clip that we're hearing from Dave Norris in the WINA News, is that why would we send bulldozers in when we don't even know if this is legal yet?
That's exactly right. And our attorney...
Is that the part you don't think the chamber gets, or do you think they get that and they just think that that's a red herring?
No, I don't know quite. There's two aspects of it that bother me, and I'm going to try to attribute some motives to it. First, I think that they have characterized Dave Norris, the mayor, as somehow acting without the support of council because he has been clear in his opposition to this road for a long time. That's clearly not the case, and they're mistaken or they're distorting the facts.
Being the chamber.
The Chamber of Commerce and the Free Enterprise Institute, which is kind of joined at the hip with them. They have continued to raise the specter as if somehow there's a rogue action here that is designed to delay and designed against city council wishes. That's simply not the case. And that meeting today made clear that the city's attorney understands that and is working to make sure that if the city council adopts a resolution that they would prohibit any activity in the park till all the legal decisions have been made, then we're going to be...
Well, y'all would be happy.
Would we ever?
Yeah.
And I think increasingly numbers of citizens would be happy. I think a lot of people feel like it was a done deal. Remember, we've had that for so many years, Coy. You know that.
Yeah.
For years, it's done deal. It's only a question of when it's going to be built. And anything that would seem to divert that or slow it down is somehow just a delay action rather than a real effort to change the concept of how that park would evolve and become the center of our city park system.
Yeah. We're talking with Rich Collins. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. For or against the parkway, 977-1070. And why? Why is it? Here's what I don't get. Why is it? I've never understood this. The Chamber and the Free Enterprise Forum are absolutely convinced that the business aspect of Charlottesville, the business vitality of downtown Charlottesville, depends on this road. And that's the mantra that we've been getting since the 70s, and even before that in the 60s. We got to build this road to save downtown Charlottesville. And yet, downtown Charlottesville was saved. I mean, you can't walk on the downtown mall on a Friday night and tell me that downtown Charlottesville hasn't been saved. It was saved. I mean, you can go back and see what was happening to it in the late 60s and early 70s and compare it to today. It was saved. You don't need this road to save it. It was saved. I don't understand the mentality, the argument. It just doesn't hold water to me. You got to have this road or else businesses will be threatened. How so?
Well, I agree. I think most people who've thought about it or studied it or carefully reviewed even the arguments would agree with you that this is not a road that's necessary to restore or protect downtown Charlottesville vitality. In fact, some people think quite the opposite. But I think that there is, historically, the idea was that when the new shopping mall came in out at 29 and Rio, that all the department stores left. And cities typically in that period didn't know what else to do. We need a road because we'll get better access at least. Maybe we can recover. So there's some of that residual.
Well, and that's how we got the four-laning of 5th Street. That's how we got the four-laning of part of Preston Avenue. Mm-hmm. Those were early efforts to try to bring more cars downtown.
Yeah.
And the Meadow Creek Parkway, which was originally called McIntyre Road Extended back in the 70s, it was part of that whole matrix of roadways to funnel cars downtown.
Yeah.
But yet we figured out a way to save it without doing that. That's my point.
That's right, we did. And it wasn't just that we did it. It was changes in our composition of our population, changes in the typical household, changes in our view towards air pollution and automobile dominance in our parks and in our city streets. So many things concurred to save it, if that's the right word, by the evolution of our city and our town. And now it's secure. I think if I were on their side, which obviously I'm not, I would continue to hit that tune, though, because what you need is a city, which has been very skeptical of this from the beginning, and it has often negotiated with great vigor to try and make sure there was a western bypass or a northern connector to the eastern part of the county, which is, of course, not likely to happen in either case in the short term. And they feel like sometimes we were left with the only road that was possible or feasible. The county wants it because it connects parts of the county, right? That's really the big thing from Pantops to 29 North. But you need city support. If the city says, look, we think on balance it's harmful to our neighborhoods, to our parkland, to the core of our city, then they're not going to get it. And that's what's at stake here. That's why they're almost panicky here. It's not so much the delay, in my view. It is, my gosh, the sentiment could really change. People could really think that this thing isn't going to be built and shouldn't be built because it violates federal law.
Yeah, and I just want to underscore something. There's always been substantial opposition to this road from the day it was proposed. There was a petition in 1978-79 with over 1,000 names on it presented to city council.
I remember
against
that.
This. I mean, that's a long time ago. This is the opposition of which you are a part is nothing new. That's my point. Let's go to the phones. Bob Fenwick is on line one. Bob, you go right ahead. You're on with Rich Collins.
Hey, Coy and Rich. How you doing?
Really good. Go ahead.
One of the arguments about the pro-Parkway people that they put out there is we'll never get a better deal, but the bids are so low, we'll never get a better deal. Now, these guys from the Chamber and from the Free Enterprise Forum, have been around a while in business, and they know better than that. The recession that we are in is just almost as bad, if not worse, than the Carter-Reagan recession. And that took us 10 years to get out of. These low prices are going to be around for a while. Now, a cheap mistake is still a mistake, and that's sort of how we view that parkway going through the park.
Bob, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Carl on 2 in Charlottesville. Carl, you go right ahead. You're on with Rich Collins.
Yes. Carlin just made a comment when he said downtown was saved and they didn't need the parkway. If they had never built Mother Creek Parkway, McIntyre Parkway, whatever you want to call it, the 250 bypass,
yeah,
downtown would never have been saved because all the traffic from 250 had to go through downtown. So why is the same thing going to happen to the parkway? You need the parkway.
So you think you need the parkway, otherwise businesses are threatened in downtown Charlottesville, that they hinge on if this parkway is built or not?
Yes, because if the 250 bypass were not built, you would not have the brick walk downtown. You wouldn't be able to walk downtown because all the traffic from Richmond had to come through Main Street.
Well, then let's just say the 250 bypass saved downtown Charlottesville, not build McIntyre Road, right? I mean, Rich?
Yeah, well, Carl, I do understand your view. A lot of people have mentioned that would the people who were opposed to the McIntyre Parkway now, would they have opposed the 250 bypass back then?
And there was a lot of opposition to that. Jim Bowen, city manager, I mean, they called it Bowen's Folly. Everybody laughed at the 250 bypass, and arguably it's, you know, one of the most successful roads in Central Virginia. It's absolutely, you know, so much of Central Virginia depends on that bypass.
Well, it is. It's also one of the most beautiful roads, and one of the roads, the reasons it's so beautiful is, of course, they took parts of McIntyre Park. I think that's partly, Carl, why it may be a little different this time. Not only the economics of downtown, but the fact that the loss of parkland in our central city is no longer tolerable. They've cut it up a lot of different ways. Mr. McIntyre's gift, as you probably know, included a gift at Washington Park, and there's some interesting history there. But I think that right now, many people of all persuasions are saying, look, this is not just an excess piece of real estate that you can do with whatever you want, whenever you want to, and subsidize some kind of activity, in this case, automobile traffic. So I do understand your view, but I don't think the current circumstances are comparable to those when 250 was built.
Carl, thanks for the call. We got a line open at 977-1070. What say you, for or against the Meadow Creek Parkway? And so right now, the latest is that the Army Corps of Engineers has yet to issue a permit for any work in the park, number one. And number two, the Federal Highway Administration has not yet issued a quote-unquote action, or what we might call a determination, right, about whether that interchange can be built with federal funds.
That's right. And I don't know.
All still sort of waiting
for
Washington.
Right. But the risk here, and this was a big topic with Craig Brown today at the meeting, was that if the Corps should issue the permit for, essentially, it's a culvert on the near Belbourne Road, we would be able, arguably, to sue them, but we wouldn't be able to sue them on the grounds that we think are most important, and that is the segmentation of the park by using federal money for some part, state money for another, and then argue they're different roads and therefore federal law doesn't apply.
Yeah.
And that's the key issue. And Craig Brown came up with a very interesting proposition, I thought, and I have to talk with my colleagues about that. He said, well, you know, maybe what we ought to do, because he says, I do understand your concern and the risk that you're taking here, that activity could begin in the park and then later be termed illegal, but only after the park had been half destroyed, that why don't we ask the Corps and the FHWA to agree that they won't issue one permit until both permits are ready. That way, we would
then
have...
Then the decisions come down at the same time, that's right, and you know what you're dealing with.
That's right. And essentially, that's all the city council is asking for. So that was an idea that Craig came up with, and I think it has real possibilities because we're not asking for a delay, as I emphasize. There will be delays if that's what you wish to refer to it. The real question is, can we get a fair hearing on the legal issues that we have been arguing about, as you know, for 20 years and never got a fair shake from the Federal Highway Administration?
And for those just joining us who may not know what the legal issue depends on, you're not allowed to use federal money to put any money towards a project that's going to be a road through a park. You're not allowed to use federal money to put a road through a park, period. And so the issue is, well, they're using federal money on the interchange. Is that really part of the road through the park? And Of course it is. I mean, come on. You wouldn't have the road through the park if you didn't have the interchange.
I think that's the interesting question, because everyone knows that in theory and in law, that's the case. In fact, the Federal Highway Administration around the country has found ways to get around it wherever they can. And essentially, that's what they've been doing here.
We're talking with Rich Collins. Lloyd's on line one. Lloyd, you're on with Rich. You go right ahead.
Hey, thank you very much. The gentleman that called just previously about the 250 bypass making downtown when all the traffic had to go through.
Yeah, yeah.
I lived on Grady Avenue and 14th Street, and he's exactly right. The 250 bypass made the park. In those days, in the early 50s, when I lived there, there was no access to the park. It was a piece of land. So if it hadn't been the beautiful southern edge of the park being used for the 250 bypass, the McIntyre Park would still have no access.
It got cars, it got east-west traffic out of downtown, and it also gave you an access road to McIntyre Park. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly right.
Yeah,
And this Meadow Creek Parkway is going down through the swamp there, and it's going to be on the eastern edge of the park and will not disturb it, and it will further increase the popularity of McIntyre Park.
So you say this road's just going to give us another access road.
Not access road, but it will make it more visible, and it will serve the need of the citizens and the county who work and shop downtown and in the county.
So you would say, Lloyd, that business in Charlottesville really hinges on this road. You believe that argument?
I think it is a access that, rather than using the unsafe, windy curves that existed in the 50s, that have access downtown and from downtown back to the county, or 29, is unsafe. It won't handle today's conditions. And by using a small piece of the park that no one else can use except for the Meadow Creek swampland there that it goes through will make the park. And I've played many times golf on McIntyre Park, and it's nice to have access to it and see that it's thriving so well. But without the 250 bypass and the Meadow Creek Parkway, it would be non-existent.
Lloyd, great call. Thank you so much for contributing your thoughts to that conversation. Terrific call. Rich, your response.
Yeah, Lloyd, I do understand your view, and I think everyone wants increased access to the park. As you've already indicated, this road will not provide additional access. It will actually just bring automobiles through it. There will be no access to the park from the road itself. What the coalition is seeking to do is to have the golfers play and on what you call a swamp, and I don't know where you get that. There is some low-lying land along Skanks Branch, but I played that course as you have apparently, and there's a lot of upland and a lot of land which is available and is not in any way a wetland. That land is better used as a quiet, pastoral, enjoyable setting for people altogether, and that's what we're seeking. It's not going to reduce access to stop the McIntyre Parkway. In fact, if anything, it's going to increase it for bicycles, for people who walk, for people who want to sit in the sun, and who knows what will actually become of that golf course. Part of it will remain, probably, and part of it might be turned into an arboretum. We don't know what all happened.
Lloyd, thanks for the call. Rich Collins, thank you for the update.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.